Hi, this is Tim Johnson of Traders Realty. I know that moving is an emotional experience. Meet my client, Warren Danz.
In Tim's case, he gave us a lot of personal service. He went above and beyond what a normal realtor would do. Tim is going out. Sometimes he even vacuumed the floor, things of that nature, and that's what we felt was good and impressed us.
Each home has a tale to tell, lives lived and memories made.
Definitely recommend Tim. I think he's young, ambitious, but he still has the personal service. I think anyone would be very satisfied with his work and his service.
It's more than a transaction. It's your story.
Tim Johnson, realtor with Traders Realty, will tell your home story. Tim is a professional, does his homework, and will impress you with his attention to detail and work ethic. Bottom line, he'll help you sell or buy a home quickly and hassle-free. Call Tim today and start to move your story beyond expectation and into action. Tim Johnson, realtor with Traders Realty. Find out more at timjohnsonrealtor.com.
Business. Industry. Community.
And there's the president. He's coming out. He came out first. I see Aaron Shack with him. I see Ray LaHood with him.
Family. Leadership.
The Peoria of today is in much better shape than the Peoria of 25 years ago.
It's everything that makes Peoria, Peoria. It's in the neighborhood.
Welcome to In the Neighborhood on 1470 WMBD with your hosts, Tim Johnson and Stacy Borhol. Tim is a realtor with Traders Realty, and Stacy is a mortgage lender at Busey Bank. And together, they have their finger on the heartbeats of the heartland. Each week at this time, they sit down with the people who move the Peoria area. People in your community that lead organizations, businesses, and government. These are the people in your neighborhood. You'll learn who they are, what they're involved in, and why. It's In the Neighborhood with Tim Johnson and Stacy Borhol.
Hi, Stacy.
Good morning, Tim. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Thanks so much. Can't wait for the fireworks.
Get to watch fireworks tonight and tomorrow night.
Wow, that's great. Who are we talking with today?
Today we have the privilege of hearing from the Red Cross.
Great. Here we go. We're here with Sue Barlow and Aaron Miller of the Red Cross today.
So, Sue, thanks so much for coming here today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started at the Red Cross.
I started volunteering with the Red Cross, actually, before I became paid staff. And it was in about 1987, 1988. My husband was a volunteer fireman in Bartonville for 20 years. My daughter was a volunteer firefighter in Bartonville for 12 years. And my son is on the Peoria Fire Department. And we had some really, really hot weather. It was 95 degrees. I stopped down. We had a fire in Bartonville. And my husband and the other firemen were crawling underneath the fire truck so that the water would run on them because it was so hot that day. And a Red Cross van pulled up and pulled out what we call Cambros, huge thermoses of water for the firemen. And there were only two people, and the firemen were all so thirsty that I just started passing out water with them. And then they started wetting towels, and we'd throw them around the firemen's necks because there were five different departments that had responded that day. I looked up, and a girl that I knew was actually one of the Red Cross people that was with the van. And the next time she had a house fire, she called me, and she said, "Sue, would you ride along with me? I'm going to go do a house fire case. It's out in the country, and I don't want to go by myself." So she reeled me in. You know, I went to three or four fires to house fires and watched her do the casework. And started volunteering, started taking classes myself, started doing family service casework after that, and responded to national disasters. I went to Hurricane Andrew and the Great Mississippi Floods, flash floods in Houston. I've been to different places for different events. I volunteered for 13 years, and I don't think there has ever been anything in my life I've done that I felt like I made more of a difference in other people's lives. You know, you want all your life to feel like you have purpose, and that's what I felt like as a volunteer, was that I had purpose. And then when they had an opening at the Red Cross and I filled out the application, I really had to make a decision because I knew once I became a paid staff, I'd be tied to the office more and wouldn't be able to respond as often to fires, to national disasters. But I became a part of the paid staff, and When I first started, I worked in health services and scheduled instructors on classes and packed classes and scheduled volunteers for the blood pressure program. We have 20 sites throughout the community that we take blood pressures every month, and I have volunteers that schedule into those. And then about 7 years ago, the volunteer coordinator position opened up, and because I care so much about the volunteers, it was kind of a natural move for me to move over into that. And that's how I got where I'm at.
Thanks for sharing your story. That's wonderful.
You're welcome.
Erin, tell us your story.
Well, my name is Erin Miller, and I found the Red Cross right after Hurricane Katrina in 2005. I actually started at the Red Cross not knowing anything about it. I'll never forget when I was talking to our CEO, Ann Fox, when I was in the final stages of being hired on. She said, "What do you know about the Red Cross?" And I said, "Well, I've given blood before." And blood is so important and so vital. But now that I've been with the Red Cross for almost 6 years, it just makes me realize, oh my gosh, I just knew absolutely nothing about what the Red Cross did. But I started out in 05 as the assistant to the CEO, and that was probably the best place for me because I got to see everything that we did. And I like to tell people that you fall in love with the Red Cross. And I tell my friends so many times when they ask me, "How was your day?" I say, "Well, I fell in love with the Red Cross again today." And those days are always when I see a disaster client that comes in, or when I hear a story about how Red Cross services changed somebody's life. But I think the one that sticks out in my mind the most was it was a couple years ago, and I was at a friend's house, and we were having a good time after. It was the weekend of Thanksgiving. It was right after Thanksgiving. And I got a call from my sister, who lives in Hopedale, and she said that her house was on fire. And the first thing I did when I got in the car was I called disaster services and told them exactly what was going on. After everything had happened and I got there and my sister and her three boys and my brother-in-law came back to my house, Red Cross volunteers who I had known and seen and talked to a million times were there in my dining room at 1 a.m. and they were actually providing client casework for my sister. And you know, they had insurance. The insurance didn't kick in right away. And so there they were, and they had no shoes. They had no clothes. You know, they had some place to stay with me and, of course, food, because I wouldn't let them starve. But there was a lot of things that I couldn't provide for them. And I got to see Red Cross in action and how it impacted my family. And I think that's another one of those times where it's just you fall in love with it because you realize this organization is something that it's so much bigger than who you are. And it's there for people at a time in their life when they have very little hope. And, you know, it's just, it's so much of my heart and who I am. Anyway, that's, I'm trying.
Not to tear up. You already brought tears to my eyes and gave me goosebumps, both of you, with your amazing stories.
When we think about patriotism, we kind of think of all the things that you guys do to help us during big disasters, volunteers that come in. We have a lot of volunteers for the Red Cross in this area specifically.
We do. We have 300 volunteers just in the Peoria area, and these people do a wide range of things, everything from disaster response. That could be nationally, or it could be responding to a home fire.
Give us an overall view of what the Red Cross does.
The American Red Cross, I always say, is this wonderful organization that you really don't know about until you need it. The Red Cross obviously responds to disasters. There are disasters that happen here at home, around the world, you know, also just, you know, across the country. The Red Cross also has a lot of youth education programs. I mean, this is everything from hygiene to traffic safety, bike rodeos. We go into schools, daycares, day camps, Boy Scout camps, teaching a wide variety of classes that we have. We also provide CPR, first aid, and AED training. We have each year we honor local people that use their training to save someone's life. Last year we honored one gentleman that used his training on the golf course. You know, you don't ever know that you're going to be using your Red Cross training, but it's always good when you have it. Something else the Red Cross does, we work a lot with the military. When there's a birth or a death or if someone's getting sick and they need to be able to relay a message, the Red Cross actually has a system set up to where we can actually get that message to wherever anybody is across the world. And we can actually start the process to where people can come home. And we've had many situations. I actually just heard a story the other day. I was talking to a girl who was telling me about how her boyfriend was deployed in Afghanistan and how the pilot that he was working with, his mother was really, really sick. So through the Red Cross, he was home within 2 days from Afghanistan, was able to spend an evening with his mother, and she passed away the next day. Hmm. So that just is a... it gives you goosebumps just to think about it. But, you know, that's one of the things we do with the military. We also we show the families, you know, how much we're there for them. We have a lot of different information. There's a variety of different things that we have support that we provide for military service members, their families, and veterans.
What needs are there right now for the Red Cross?
The Red Cross is not a government organization. We don't get any support from the national government. It is all through donations. And in order for us to be able to do everything that we do, we rely on the generosity of people that are our friends and neighbors to be able to, you know, help us to be able to reach out to people who need our help, whether it's teaching a class or, you know, responding to a home fire in the middle of the night. So always donations are needed so that we are able to fulfill our mission. Some people like to do that and be able to give their money. Other people who maybe can't, you know, spare the money, they will actually just come and volunteer. And the volunteers are what we like to call the heart and hands of our mission. Without them, there is no way that we would be able to accomplish a fraction of what we do in the community.
So you're definitely in need of more volunteers?
We're always in need of volunteers. We have people that they actually get in contact with either through the internet or the phone or walking through the door, and they take them through the process and they show them, these are all the things that you can do for the Red Cross. And typically, if we don't have something that they want to do at the Red Cross, if it's something that we can figure out how to do it, we do. An example is we have a gentleman that goes to different events. He was a photographer. He wanted to take pictures for the Red Cross. So it wasn't really a volunteer job description that we had, but we made it. And so now he's actually helping us to be able to tell our story through the pictures that he's taking to, you know, the community.
I just recently gave blood. Is there still need for donations of that kind?
There's always a need for blood. You know, we've, I think with a lot of the different tragedies that we've had just with the spring, all of the different tornadoes, and, you know, we saw what happened in Alabama and Missouri, and the Red Cross is still there. But there's always a need for blood in that situation. There's also, you know, there's surgeries that happen every day. There's emergencies that happen every day. And without the blood donation, these people may not be able to get what they need to be able to live.
I have seen that a lot of the donations that are made in Peoria stay in Peoria. What can you tell us about that?
The Red Cross is very, very vigilant to be sure that the money that the donors give to the Red Cross is used in the exact way that they want it used. So we have so many people who say, I want to be able to donate money so that there can be a babysitter training in Peoria Heights for, you know, kids between this age range. And it happens. There's people who donate money so that we can buy bike helmets to give away at bike rodeos. And it happens. There's many times that people will specify and say, I want this to go to Joplin after the tornadoes that happened. We had quite a bit of that. Or with Japan, with the earthquake and the tsunami. The Red Cross is very vigilant with what people intend their money to do. When people go online, they always get to specify where do they want this money to go. You've got all these different options. So there are people who say, I want this to be used right around 61605. And so that's where it's used.
You mentioned the bike rodeo quite a few times now. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I'm thinking a lot about the bike rodeo because July 16th, we have our big annual bike rodeo. So I'm sorry, that was a bit of a slip on me. But we do quite a few things with traffic safety. We have this wonderful program that's actually made possible through the Illinois Department of Transportation. And we do everything from prom night crash reenactments where we go to high schools and we have actual crashed cars, and there are teenagers that are the actors, and we have local police in the corners, and basically they just stage for these kids. This is what it looks like if you choose to drink and drive. And so we perform those every spring. That's one thing that we do. We also obviously do the bike rodeos. We usually have about four or five a summer. We have a big one coming up in July at the Red Cross. We also have a few that we do in, through 4-H fairs or different events that they have. There's one that happens every year in East Peoria at the Glad Tidings Church. Some sort of a big day that they have. They always want to have a bike rodeo with it too. So basically at a bike rodeo, we work with the Children's Hospital of Illinois, and we actually have puppet shows, games. We have the police there, and they go through and they tag the bikes. So if the bikes are stolen, they have different bike vendors there that will actually go and do like the whole safety check on the bikes to make sure that the chains are tightened and all that. People get bike helmets, and we make sure that they're sized appropriately to their head. There's all these different courses that they can go through. It's really a fun day. It's one of the events that staff always likes to volunteer at because we always have a really good time at it. There's a lot of education that we do in the high schools. There's not always the big prom crash reenactments. We have different things called Operation Destination where, the high schools, they'll have different stations they go through and they learn about distracted driving. They learn about, what the consequences could be if they decide to drink and drive. We have a designated driver promotion, and you may have heard of it. We do this on July 4th. We do this on the day before Thanksgiving, St. Patrick's Day, and New Year's Eve. And this year, we'll actually be doing a designated driver promotion at one of the Riverman games. We're very excited about that. So,
what does that entail?
So basically what it is that when someone comes to a bar, and they'll say, I'm the designated driver. So at these different locations that we have about, on our normal days, we have about 10 different locations across Peoria, Morton, Pekin. And on these days, they'll get a cup that says that they're the designated driver, and they get free soda or water all night.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's something that we really enjoy doing. We've been doing it for the last few years, and we see it grow, more and more every year. There's more establishments that want to become a part of it. So it's very exciting.
How do people find out where those are?
Typically what we do is we'll send it to a variety of different media outlets, the local television stations, radio stations, papers. They've been great to make sure that people know, okay, these are the different locations that you can go and you can, get free drinks at.
So does the Red Cross provide the cups then to the bar?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's neat. And would you be able to find information about that on a website somewhere?
Yes, on our website, redcrossillinois.org/DD program.
And then also in regards to your classes to teach
CPR.
Thank you. CPR. So you can probably sign up online for your CPR classes, or?
Again, you can go to redcrossillinois.org, and then on the right-hand side of the homepage is a big red button that says take a class.
Okay.
So, and those classes range from everything with CPR, also babysitting classes, water safety classes, lifeguarding classes. People can also find out information of, how they could go about actually bringing Red Cross training to their business, so that their coworkers would be able to be trained, creating a safer work environment. Also, there's information on how you could become a Red Cross instructor.
Awesome. So when you take these classes, are these free classes or are there charges, different charges for the classes?
Our health and safety classes, babysitting classes, CPR training, lifeguarding, those all cost, a variety of different prices. All of our youth classes, traffic safety, those are all completely free of charge.
So how about the bicycle rodeo?
It's free.
That's free. And where is that taking place?
It's taking place at the Central Illinois chapter over on John Gwynn.
Okay.
It'll be in our parking lot from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on the 16th of July.
Any other things you want to touch on?
We have got a tip library on our website, which we have compiled with a ton of information. I mean, it's everything from, winter safety to grilling safety, water safety, just all these different little tips that people can use to be able to actually make sure that they're prepared for a variety of different things, what to put in a disaster kit. That's one of those things, I've been trying to let people know about. It's just basically what the Red Cross says about everything.
How does someone volunteer for the Red Cross?
People who would like to volunteer for the Red Cross can go to our website, mm-hmm. which is, as Aaron had said earlier, redcrossillinois.org. And there's a place on there that you can download an application to fill out. And there's also a place on the website, on the homepage, that you can take a class called Red Cross Orientation. And it's about a two-hour little class that you can take online at your own leisure. It has four modules. And that gives you an overall view of the whole Red Cross organization and explains the responsibilities that we have in our community.
Okay.
Would be a very good place to start. So then you have an idea of what kind of questions to ask when you do call or what to check on the application that you thought was interesting that you would like to volunteer to do. So then people can download the applications and fill them out and send them to me, or they can email. There's a place where you can email right straight through to our chapter, and I'll answer your email and send the application and an email back with you with the background check sheet for the volunteer to fill out, and set up an orientation for them to come down to the office and talk and listen to the things that we offer in our own community for them to volunteer. At this time of year, when the tornadoes have been so rampant throughout our country, we have a lot of people who have called who would love to volunteer and go right straight to a disaster area and be able to volunteer. And the thing that I like for people to keep in mind is all Red Cross volunteers start in their own local chapter. They fill out their applications, get their background checks completed, and take their beginning classes at the Red Cross in their own chapter, in their own area. The Central Illinois chapter is our chapter here. So when people fill out their applications and their background checks are complete and they've come to an orientation, if disaster services is where they want to be, then I set them up with disaster services to be able to take a class. I like for people to understand that when you go out on a national disaster, you're going somewhere that the worst thing that could ever happen to people happens. And if we send folks that we haven't trained already, the people who are already at the disaster are spending the first two or three days training people instead of helping the victims. So if we train people at a local level in our own chapters at home, they're ready to respond the day that they get to a national disaster. And they're part of the help instead of a part of a problem.
So it's not like a disaster happens and everybody gets on the bus and
right.
goes to the disaster.
We have different functions in disaster that our volunteers train for. They may go out in disaster and be the people who are responsible to feed the clients and the workers, all of the utility workers, all the policemen, all the firemen, all the rescue people that are out there on jobs. The Red Cross feeds all of them. Everyone that's on a job, doing a job, gets fed just like our clients do because they're trying to do the same thing we are, help the clients. They may go out and work in a shelter for the American Red Cross. And our people are trained to know how to run a shelter, what supplies they would need on hand, how to deal with different emergencies at a shelter. We have disaster health volunteers that will be in each of the shelters and also in staffing wherever we are at, because most injuries happen after a disaster happens, when you're back in there digging through that stuff, trying to find Grandma's Bible and Grandpa's antique tools, the quilt your mom made. Then you get back to the shelter at night, and that's when the nurses, the disaster health people will say, well, you have quite a few cuts on your hands. You better come over here. Let's take a look at you and take care of them so that they, they get their injuries taken care of. And psychologically, in our minds, we all want to help people around our country when disasters happen. But in reality, when you get on the scene of a disaster and you've never seen anything like that, to me, it compares to a fireman or a policeman who never had training, and you put a uniform on and expect them to know what to do at the other end. You have to have that training to be able to deal with people who have just lost, their home, maybe loved ones, their pets. And in hurricanes especially, they may have lost their homes, their jobs, their schools, their churches, their whole way of living. So we have to have trained volunteers that know how to deal with these kinds of scenes when they get there. We also have a disaster mental health team that has volunteers that respond to national jobs and that help us locally. So if you have a house fire that has a death involved in it, you can count on the fact that there will be Red Cross disaster health volunteers working with the clients to help them through that process. If you have a family that just may be having a hard time, our job is to get them into recovery mode instead of victim mode. And sometimes people may freeze up and not start to recover, and that's when our disaster health volunteers can talk to them and help guide them through the steps that it takes to start recovering from whatever disaster, any disaster, whether it's a home fire, a hurricane, a tornado. It doesn't matter what the disaster, the result is the same. We have human beings that need help.
You said we have 300 volunteers in this area?
Yes, we do, just about 300.
Where have they served?
Well, we have one that is still in Joplin. Milo is in charge of the logistics for the whole Joplin job, and he was in Alabama before that at home for a week. We have nurses that have just come back from Alabama and Joplin, and we have MassCare workers who've been in Alabama and Joplin that were in charge of the food, ordering all the food for the jobs. We have family service caseworkers that have been the ones that go out into the community and talk to the families at the location where the disaster was at to confirm that their needs need to be met, how bad the damage was. I think we've had 60 people from our area, from our whole region, that have responded just to this hurricane, the tornado season that we're in now.
So if you are a trained volunteer and you're ready to go and be shipped somewhere, do they pay for their airfare or anything to get there? How does that work, and do they have to stay for the whole amount of time, or can they go for a week or maybe a certain amount of time that maybe their job allows them to leave and volunteer in this situation?
Those are very good questions. When the volunteers respond to a disaster, whatever mode of transportation that they need to take, they may have to rent cars. When we had volunteers going to Joplin, we had five in a car, rented cars to go to Joplin. When they went to Alabama, they flew. And the American Red Cross picks up the price for transportation to get people to and from whatever job they respond to. And they make sure that you have shelter of your own, a place to sleep at night. That may not be a hotel room. You know, all of our money is donated dollars, so the clients may be in one church may be used for a shelter for clients, and another church may be used for shelter for the workers that are doing the work on the job. So you have to be able to live in the same conditions that the clients are in. You may not have air conditioning. You may be bussed a block away. One night the men take showers, the next night the women take showers. But the Red Cross make sure that you have a stipend to eat on every day and your transportation there and back and shelter. But other than that, anything else that you would have would be on your own.
And one would be able to maybe go for a week or a few days at a time? Or do you guys need people to sign up for certain amounts of time?
Because of the price of airfare and even renting cars, they go for 3 weeks at a time unless the job ends and they send them home earlier than that. So usually 3 weeks at a time is the minimum. That's why so many are retired people. You know, people who are not retired can't just leave their job. Some do. Some jobs will let them do that, but not many.
Again, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you to volunteer for this program?
They can call 677-7272, extension 206. That would be my direct extension.
Thank you so much for coming here this morning and sharing your awesome stories with us.
Well, thank you for having us. We can always talk about Red Cross.
We'd love to hear more sometime.
Thank you
very much for inviting us.
Thank you for joining us for this week's In the Neighborhood with your hosts, Tim Johnson and Stacy Borjo. You can find out more about the show and listen to previous shows at PeoriaArea.com. Discover who's appearing on future shows and leave questions for future guests at PeoriaArea.com. Join us next week to find out what's happening around the Peoria area as Tim and Stacy talk to those who are making it happen in the neighborhood.
I'm Jared Lister.
Choosing the right home loan specialist is just as important as choosing the right home to buy. Jared chose Stacy Borjo from Busey Bank.
My wife and I were looking for the perfect home. You can't have a pre-approval for a year and a half. It doesn't work that way. But our search took a year and a half, and we found the perfect home. There were other interested parties that we could potentially lose the house to, so I needed to act fast. called Stacy, and within an hour, we were at her office getting a pre-approval letter, made the offer, and closed a month later. It was a very, very smooth transaction, and we couldn't be more happy.
Buying a home? Call Stacy Borjo from Busey Bank.
Definitely a great choice. She's professional. She's always available, comforting when you're stressed out and wondering if you're doing the right thing, nervous about the entire process. She's very reassuring.
And Jared's favorite part about working with Stacy?
Just a hell of a good interest rate.
Hi, I'm Stacy Borjo. I'll be here with you from start to finish, and I'll work as hard as I can to make sure you're taking advantage of everything that's available to you. Before you buy a home, call me. It's free, there's no risk, and no obligation.
Call Stacy at 303-1542. That's 303-1542.